I'm telling you what, I'm impressed when it's cold and you got double lines and these people are out there and they're taking my stuff and they're really nice and they call me by name when I go in there. And I'm sorry. It's just, I'm going, that's exceptional. That's pretty cool. And the food is great. It's really good. And they have this neat little thing with a Volkswagen in it where you can throw your kids in there and forget them while you eat. How much better can it get? I would call that excellence. I would call that with great customer service, wouldn't you? And you know it when you see it, you know it when you don't. But here's the tough thing about you and I that we have to swallow, and that is that there's only one factor that will determine whether this year is an exceptional year or not, and whether you like it or not, it's you. It's the person you dress. It's the person that you bathe. It's the person you shave. It's the person you address in the mirror every day. It's you. We all want everybody else to be excellent for us, but the only thing you can really choose to be excellent is you. You are the only one. This is the only deciding factor. When you show up at Chick-fil-A, they may have a bad day. They just may be wrong. We know we were over there one time, and that happened. It really did. You could tell that they were just kind of a little unmanned, and this guy was just trying to hurry and keep up with the Chick-fil-A standard. And he said, I'm sorry, we've had a couple of people call in sick. You know, I said, hey, you know, that's okay. No big deal. And he gave me a free card. You know, see, he was trying to make up for the excellence that they couldn't do because he didn't have the human performance. He gave me a freebie. I love it. How cool is that? So there's things like that that happen that just make, but you are the only one that can really, you will be solely responsible for whether 2019 is an excellent year or not an excellent year. So quit looking around. Quit putting it on everybody else because it's all on you. Now, I am like you. When I go places and I want to get the greatest customer service, yeah, I want to be a little bent out of shape on it, don't you? But I'm just going to say it. I don't go to Facebook on this stuff. And if you do, stop it. Just stop it. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. But stop it. What do you accomplish? All you're doing is you're venting. You're venting over somebody else's lack of excellence. And I hate to tell you this, but you know what? You're exposing a little bit of your lack of excellence. So you know what? Just stop it. Stop it. Just quit. You know? Just go to somebody and just go, oh, just whatever. Come on, smile. Right. Come on. Yeah. Listen, there's a whole lot of things that we cannot control. There's a whole lot of things that we're not responsible for, but you are not one of them. You are completely and solely responsible for yourself. And it's about time that we started taking that so that the year of expectation and excellence that we're looking for is there by choice and not by chance. I don't want to get to the end of this year and go, wow, it turned out to be a pretty good year, but I didn't have anything to do with it. You know, wow, I won the lottery. No, you didn't. No, you didn't, and you never have, and you never will. So just forget it. If you buy lot, never mind. I'm going to get off. I almost shifted sermons there for a second. I apologize. Year of excellence, I was getting the year of intrusion, so forgive me. Wow, this was a great start. Join me in Luke, the 15th chapter. Luke, the 15th chapter, there was this kid, and you know, I don't know what got into his gourd, but he said, you know what, I've had enough of this. Hey, Dad, give me my inheritance, and you and my older brother can just hang it, you know, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to live my life. So he took off, and unbelievably, the dad gave him his inheritance. He takes off to the far country, you know, which was Catoosa, and he goes down there, and he spends all his money on ill-gain, bad stuff, women, you know, all this other, and just ruins his life, okay? Spends all his money, wears out all of his friendships. He ends up in this pig pen. And what they're feeding the pigs to eat and survive, he starts eating that. And he comes to his senses and he says, wait a minute. If I want to go home and ask my dad just to let me be one of his servants, they live better than I do. So he came to his senses and he went home. And then we pick it up in verse 21. It says, and the son said to him after he had come home and greeted his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Now we know this story very well. We know what happened. He came to his senses and went home, and He's called the prodigal son. Now, the prodigal son, prodigal is an adjective. We put him, give him this title, prodigal son. But this is what prodigal means. Prodigal means reckless or wasteful extravagance. Wasteful extravagance. He just absolutely did poor, poor choices with the things that he had. So, how would you have rewarded your son if he had come home under those circumstances? Dragging his tail between his legs and saying, "Dad, I want to come home." Let me tell you what this father did. This father didn't just say, "Okay, you can come home." He decided to go the excellent route. And he said, "Bring out the best robe." I don't know how you do it, but in your closet, this is her closet. This is my closet. And I'm just picking out the best, okay? So you pick out the best. That means the best one, right? We understand what best means, right? He says, "Bring out the best robe to cover the filth of my son." Sometimes excellence can look like extravagance. I mean, isn't he overdoing it a little bit? Well, let's ask the older brother how he felt about it. The older brother is over there and he's going, "Wait a minute. This knucklehead goes off and he spends our money." He could call it your money, but our money. He goes and does all that ridiculous stuff, comes home, and now you're fixing to put the best robe on him, put a ring on his hand, bring him back, sandals on his feet, and we're going to throw him a party? Well, I think I'll go out and just murder somebody. I mean, I think I'll just go, what if, you know, sometimes we see all of the good living we have done in comparison to other people's bad living they've done, and we have said they absolutely deserve what? Rejection? Judgment? Anything but acceptance, correct? But you realize this father is an image of our Father in heaven. And regardless of where you and I have been, he decided because of the sacrifice of his son Jesus Christ to treat us with excellence. The best robe. Let me ask you a question. Does everything that gets your best deserve your best? It's time to think about it. How we treat other people. The things that we do. Does it have to deserve it before we'll give it? Or are we going to give it only what it deserves? Let me just tell you something. This Bible tells me what I deserve is hell. What I deserve is death. What I deserve is to pay for my sins. What I deserve is to never have the joy of having the fellowship of you and our Heavenly Father, joint heirs with Jesus, the blessing of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I don't deserve any of that. But Jesus, through his sacrifice, the Heavenly Father laid upon me the excellence of acceptance. Wow, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? Now, when we turn around, if we're not careful, we love that story when it comes to us. But remember, there's another story in the Bible where there was this guy who owed a lot of money, and they bring him in before the king, and the king says, "Take this guy and throw him out." And he throws himself at the mercy of the king, and the king says, "Okay, I'll forgive you." The Bible says he goes right out, and he finds somebody that owes him much, 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 much less than he owed the king, grabbed him by the throat and said, "Pay me today." And when the king found out, he said, "Wait a minute. I'm not going to give you extreme mercy if you're not going to also give extreme mercy." You know what that's called? It's called excellence. It's called excellence. Hey, maybe your work situation isn't the best. Maybe your boss is a grouch. Unless you work here at the church, then he's awesome. You know, maybe the people you hang out with, maybe the people you go to school with, maybe your teacher, maybe your coworker, maybe your neighbors aren't the best in the world. Maybe you're not inspired to just kind of jump out of your comfort zone to do anything you can for them. But what is God asking you to do? He's asking you to apply excellence. And it's tough to do, isn't it? Because the motivation has to come from God. Does anything but perfect in your reality keep you from giving your best? Because we don't live in a great world, do we? I mean, it's pretty tough. And if your best is only given to the deserving, how often do you really give it? How often do you really give it? Because if you don't give it, you're withholding it. The capacity to have excellence, the capacity to treat somebody with excellence, the capacity to work with excellence, the capacity to just go through our daily life with excellence, the capacity to parent with excellence, the capacity to manage with excellence is within us every day. And if we don't do that, then we are withholding it. It's not about we don't have it, we're not giving it. And that's a big, big issue that we need. Listen, don't demand out of others something you're not demanding out of yourself or that you're not modeling out of yourself. I guarantee you, if you pick out the people that inspire you, it's the people that have treated you with excellence. It's the people that have seemed to go above and beyond. They've gone way above anything that you thought that they could. They were so friendly. They were outgoing. They were inviting. They were inclusive. They just brought you in. And you're going, why do these people like me? It's because they treated you with excellence. And they treated you for all the right reasons. The choice to give your best is your choice. It's your choice. Let me bring two things into it. There's a promise and a principle that comes with giving your very, very best. First of all, there's the principle of self-sacrifice. When we lose so that others benefit, we get closer to the true heart of God than ever before. We lose for the benefit of others. When I'm in line and I decide to step out of line so somebody else can go in front of me, then you know what? That's a silly illustration. It's a simple illustration, but you know what? I have come closer to the true heart of God than anything else. When I go without so that somebody can go with, that's not just because I'm a parent. It's because I'm working with excellence. Then I'm putting somebody before me. And I'm showing the true heart of God. That's exactly what happens. It's called self-sacrifice. What most of us see is sacrifice. I didn't get it. I didn't be the ones for, I had to do without. That's the only thing that we see sometimes. And that's your flesh screaming, and your spirit is going, oh, but I have something more precious than that. I have something that God wants to give you. If you would just learn the principle of self-sacrifice, there's just powerful things that God wants to do there. Choosing the best for others, especially at our own expense, causes us to be, here's a big word, Christ-like. And the thing that draws you to other people is not just their niceness. It's just not how pleasant they are. There's something deeper within that. You find somebody, you can meet them totally off the street. And within a couple of seconds, you start identifying with the spirit of that person. You start asking yourself, you know, there's something deeper about this person. And 9 times out of 10, you'll find out it's a Christian presence. That Christ lives in that person. That's why they're that way. They're not just nice. They're not just perfect. They're not paid to be pleasant. No, there's something that goes far deeper than that. So we have to honor that and understand it. There's also a promise of reward when we give our very, very best. Mike Clarenceau, he was addressing men's ministry up in Springfield, and this is what he said. The more I give my best, the more high-quality seeds are planted before me. If I wait for somebody else to justify my best effort, I will live what their seeds grow. I'd rather live with the harvest of my own effort and what it can bring. To do that, I need to bring my best to every moment, even those that don't seem to deserve it. My best in everything, even if it doesn't seem to deserve it. So what does all this look like? Let me take you to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Doing your very, very best. Working in the sense of being excellent in everything that you can do. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, Paul writes to the Colossians, and he says this, bondservants. Do you know what a bondservant was? A bondservant was somebody that usually, they lost all their money, so they volunteered to be a slave, if you will, a servant to someone else because they couldn't pay their debt. Or because they were homeless or whatever, they would voluntarily put themselves under a slave situation to somebody else. That's who a bondservant was. Bondservants, in other words, not a pretty picture. Who really wants to be there? But he says, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service. You know what eye service is, don't you? Oh, the boss is looking. Hey, the boss is coming. You know, I've seen that in a lot of movies. It's really kind of funny. They kind of picture that, you know, the Wicked Witch of the West is over the office or whatever, and she shows up at the elevator, and everybody starts buzzing and texting, she's here, you know, so everybody's going to act like they're busy. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God in whatever you do. Do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. If you want to know a little bit about what this is going to look like, let me just give you three things real quick out of this verse of Scripture. First thing is that your year of excellence is going to be from your whole heart. It's going to be from your whole heart. You're going to put your heart into it. You're going to give everything, your emotions, your feelings, this part of our body that doesn't just pump the blood through our body, but it also is our center of emotions. You're going to put your heart into it. Listen, the best in our lives is not measured by feet and inches or by dollars and cents, but it's going to be by your heart. You know, there's a successful businessman that was asked, how many people are working for you? He said, about half of them. You know, that's the way it feels sometimes, isn't it? You know, the people are supposed to be pulling their weight. Dear God, get it, wake up, let's go here. You know, that's the way it feels. Our great disappointment with our culture is that we see so much half-heartedness out there. You know, the reason you're tempted to go to Facebook or anything else is because that's what sometimes you get at the register. So that's sometimes what you get when you get the service and everything. And it just irritates you, doesn't it? I mean, these people are paid to do this. Come on, I need a little customer service. I need a little help. I need a little assistance. Can I find anybody at Lowe's? No. Can I find anybody at Home Depot? No. They've got blue things on. They got orange things on. Now listen, they're there. I just can't find them. You know why? Go ahead, fill in the blank. Because I'm being a little testy. You see, I didn't bring my excellence today. You know, instead, I want everybody to move heaven and earth to help me instead of realizing, you know what? It's a pretty big store. I mean, they may be busy. Half the time, I hate to ask them for help because I know they're taking care of somebody else. And most of the time, they are. Let's give them a break a little bit. How do I show up with a little excellence instead of a lot of demanding? Wow, I got off on that, and the Lord just said, yay and verily, amen. But see, that's what we feel like sometimes. And understand it's out there. Listen, we used to say, put your back into it. I think we need to start saying, put your heart into it. Put your heart into it. God wants you to use your heart a lot more than he wants you to use your back, because that's what ministers to people and that's what represents excellence a lot more than productivity. The second thing is that it will be your best efforts. Be your best effort. This is what Paul said. And whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it heartily. Give everything you've got in it. Do it to the best of your ability. The decision to give your best is often based on whether or not it's deserved instead of whether I'm going to give it. Whether it's deserved instead of whether I'm going to give it. But whether or not they deserve it speaks for itself. But so does your effort. Your effort speaks for yourself. Hey, I know you don't want to hear this, but you should write this down in the margin of your Bible. You are going to be defined by your effort. The effort you put into your work, the effort you put into your love, the effort you put into your worship, the effort you put into serving, the effort you get into giving, the effort you give into being a friend, the effort you give into parenting, you're going to be defined by that. You are literally going to be labeled by that simply because of the effort that you put into it. Listen, most of us want God to grade us on the curve. Hey, you know, God, I'm not the best. I'm not the best. But hey, I'm not the worst either. You know, I'm kind of like right there in the middle. But the problem is that so was the church in Laodicea. See, over in Revelation, the third chapter, the angel to that church said, you know, because your works are not hot or cold, that leaves you lukewarm. And Jesus said, I want to just spew you out of my mouth. There's comfort in being in the middle. There's comfort in not having to be the best or the worst. We just like to ride in the middle. You know what the middle's called? Mediocrity. It's called the path of least resistance. It's anything but excellence. And God wants you to be excellent. He wants me to be excellent. He wants us to be excellent people because God gave all that he had. He didn't hold anything back. That's called excellence on his part, and he wants it for us to do. We need to recognize the difference between trying and doing our best. I'm sorry, but you know, a lot of times I hear somebody go, well, I tried. Well, you know what you did? You're just saying, I tried, but did you give your best? You know what? I remember in school, here you go, students. In school, I go, well, I tried. You know, it was a great excuse. I gave it a shot, but did it represent my best? Did I really bust that book open? Did I really research that? Did I really give some time studying? Did I really try to put the brain process together to where I would remember that? No, I tried. You've seen a lot of people at a job, an effort, some kind of task they're supposed to do. Well, I tried. Well, try usually comes as an excuse for I didn't make it instead of I did my very best. There's not a single parent in here who would punish their kid or be mad at their kid if they knew that that grade represented their best. There's not a teacher in the world that would downgrade that kid, beat that kid up, if they didn't know that it was just their best. And if a C is your best, then that's awesome. But if a C is what you got and an A is your best, that's not awesome. It's called a lack of excellence. And quite honestly, it's a lack of character and it's a lack of integrity as well. And we love to skirt the whole thing with saying, that was good enough. But that's not the way it should be at all. The last thing is this. It will not only be with your best effort and from your whole heart, but it will be with a great attitude. Boy, this is where we really need to end this. Because you know what? Usually the last point a preacher talks about is the one that you remember. We need to leave this and create that year of 2011 is a year of a great attitude. I mean that we discipline ourselves, we train ourselves, we force ourselves, we condition ourselves to have a great attitude. This is what Paul said in the church. You do it as unto the Lord and not to men. As unto the Lord. Finally, the motivation we've been looking for. You know, we have the choice, we have the responsibility. But the reason or the motivation is that we're doing this unto God. We're not doing this unto other people. Stop and think about it. If our God means that much to us, then everything that we do should represent the best that we could do for Him. For that's what we're doing it for. We're doing it for Him. Now listen, I know that you're just treating people over the counter. I know that you're providing a service. I know you're just going to school and trying to learn and on and on and on. But the bottom line is we do these things as unto the Lord. Not just to people. Because indirectly, that's exactly who we're serving. Is the Lord. And that's why we need to do this with the very best that we have. How many times have you been given a task and you found yourself mumbling underneath all of that? Your little attitude about all of that. It reminds me of all the times that, you know, I'm at home and Debbie says something, so I walk out of the room and it's just somehow, see, I'm just confessing a little bit. This is something that needs to be addressed during my year of excellence. I like to murmur. Oh, really? Yeah. It reminds me of old men and women. She's always walking in front, and he's behind there. And, you know, he's just going, and she goes, what? He goes, nothing, dear. As a lot of you people do it, you're just as guilty as I am. We love to murmur. We love to murmur, and it's not a good thing. It's a complaining attitude. It's a complaining spirit. And we need to be people of excellence. I mean, for crying out loud, it's just a bed. Why do I have to make my bed? Nobody's going to see my bed. Nobody's going to sleep in the bed but me. Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to fold my underwear? Okay? It's just a piece of garment that nobody else is going to see. By the time I put it on, trust me, there won't be any wrinkles in it. Come on. Why do I have to fold it? And I have to triple fold it because that's the way we do it. And the towels, for crying out loud, have to fold it. And then you have to triple fold it because that's the only way it ends up in the cabinet correctly. Come on. I should be having some amens out there by now, okay? And I ain't even started. But we do it with excellence. Because I'm not trying to make my wife happy or a teacher happy or my boss happy. As ridiculous as it sounds, I want my God, while I'm folding towels, to say, that was excellent. And what you do in private and what you do in little will be rewarded in public and in big ways. Do I give to get? No. I give to get the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ shown through Him in my heart and not for the exposure for public display. But God has a way of rewarding us openly when we do things the way He ought to, because God is going to bless you according to your attitude more than your ability or your potential or your productivity. Did you hear that? He is going to reward you more on your attitude than what you produce, how much ability you have, or what potential you have. So what do you want to be graded by? You want to be graded or judged by your attitude, or do you want to be blessed by your attitude? If you're looking for motivation, there it is right there. Let me ask you, what are we shooting for anyway? Exceptionalism or just acceptance? Do I want to just fly under the radar? Do you hear yourselves every now and then saying, well, that's good enough. That'll be okay. That's enough, isn't it? Well, you know what? It might be if you just want to get by. But if you want to be a person of excellence, you're going to do it above and beyond, not so that you can spend all of your waking hours doing stuff that you don't want to do. No, because God is going to reward you for your excellence, and it's a part of who you are. Let me ask you another question. What if you were paid according to your attitude instead of your output? Stop and think about it. What if you were paid literally on your paycheck about your attitude as much as you are your productivity? Big difference there, isn't it? I love sharing this. I've read this before, so if you heard it before, you'll enjoy it again. Made to Count, there's this book that I read years ago. It says, Andy was building a new home. As often happens, his construction crew was having an awful time with their subcontractors, their suppliers, and the schedule. Nothing was going right. The boss was frustrated. The men were grouchy. The weather was hot and humid, smoldering the men like a wet blanket. To add to the misery, the construction site's port-a-john reeked with odors that made the crew gag. The company that was charged with keeping it serviced hadn't been there and heard of for days. Suddenly, a blaring music pounded the air as a truck rolled down the street toward the site. The music seemed to fill the block with its rock beat, and everyone's attention shifted to the vehicle that slid to a stop in front of the partially completed house. They noticed that it wasn't the regular maintenance man who got out of the truck. Instead, it was a big, burly guy covered with tattoos, flashing a huge smile, singing at the top of his lungs. He greeted the entire crew with a contagious grin, grabbed his materials, and headed enthusiastically into the odorous disaster. Just before stepping in, he yelled across the yard that the former man had quit and that he would be taking over. Then he disappeared into the 4x6-foot cubicle. Rumblings began inside the port-a-john and grew louder and louder, as though he were attacking every inch of the relief station. It almost sounded like he was wrestling with a tiger in there. The construction crews suspended work temporarily, their gaze drawn to the spectacle of the port-a-john. A few snickered. They knew that the only thing worse than the smell of a port-a-john that hadn't been maintained well was the smell of cleaning that some port-a-john on a hot and humid day. But this guy seemed to stay inside forever. Every man on the site wondered how he could stand it and thought of how quickly they would have raced in and out just to escape the stink. After a while, the crew noticed something radically different. An inviting smell drifted across the yard. You might have to use your imagination on that one, but you know. Then Mr. Good Nature finally emerged with his smile still intact. Hey, he said, the guy taking care of this wasn't doing a very good job. From here on out, I guarantee that this will be the best it possibly can be because I'm here to serve you. With that, he hopped in the truck, grinned, waved, turned on the blaring music once again, and began to back out of the driveway. Dumbfounded, one of the men yelled at the driver, hey, how can you do that? More importantly, why did you do that? Oh, it's simple, replied Mr. Good Natured. You see, I work for the Lord, and I do every task as though I were doing it for Him. I'll see you next week. So with a smile and singing at the top of his voice, he drove away, leaving the awestruck crew with their mouths on the ground. What a powerful, powerful picture of the extremes that we go through in establishing excellence in our life. Because we choose to pick and choose what we want to be excellent at, who we're excellent with, and what we're going to do with our own excellence. We tend to withhold it because it seems like this is not the right time, the place. Surely God has something better for me. But you know, it's the jobs that He gives us. It's the task at hand that we need to pay attention to. Life is not so much about what you do, but how you do it and why. But more importantly, for whom you do it. You and I have rehearsed this a million times. I asked the worship team to come up. We've rehearsed this a million times. At the end of my life, there's going to be a transition. And I'm going to step from this world to the next. And when I cross that threshold, I expect to see Jesus with His arms like this. And I'm going to hear God's voice. And I'm talking about God's voice. You know, that God voice. And I expect Him to say, well done. A statement a statement. This is the clarification. This is the sum total of your life. Well done. What I hope I don't hear is the question, how well did you do it? Because that's the condemning factor. How well did you do it? So what about your 2019? Will it be a year of excellence? How well are you going to do 2019? How well are you going to parent? What kind of friend are you going to be? What kind of consumer are you going to be? What kind of waitress? What kind of plumber? What kind of manager? What kind of boss? What kind of son or daughter? What kind of person, husband and wife, are you going to be? I hope and pray that we'll start our year, finish our year with excellence in mind. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to lead us through one song, but before we do that, will you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm not going to ask for your hands to be raised, but you know, if you've seen yourself, if you've found yourself drifting into the heaviness of life. Life can be so overbearing that before you know it, excellence has literally been excluded from our life, and in its place comes sadness, complaining, argument, indifference. We find ourselves in a place that we would never pick for another person. We never certainly would pick it for our own children, but we find ourselves in this place, and sadly enough, we wake up to the reality that I chose this. I realized there was a lot of factors that came into my life. You know, the job wasn't great this year. You know, things aren't real perfect. Everywhere I go, it just seems like I run into people that are just a little indifferent. They have a chip on their shoulder. But still, I chose this. There's no way around it. I choose how I respond to that. And you would say, now lifting your hand, but in your heart, Father, forgive me. If I've done anything but adopt the Spirit of Christ, I've done anything but give closer to being a Christ-like person. I have allowed life to tell me what to do instead of this Word of God and the Spirit of God to tell me what to do. And this year, starting today, I want my life to be a life of excellence. And I first do so by asking you to cleanse me of my sin. Because sometimes my attitude, it wasn't something I did. It wasn't where I went on the internet. It wasn't something that I did to somebody else. I didn't tell a lie, but my attitude has betrayed me. And I've become somebody that I never intended to be. But today, I come back to the foot of the cross, and I ask you, forgive me, cleanse me, rid me of this horrible, horrible feeling in my life. Turn me into a person of excellence, or let's put it the right way, a person who is being molded to be like Christ. I ask that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of us. Amen and amen. You stand to your feet. We're going to sing this song and be dismissed today. And I pray once again that 2019 will just be an absolute stellar year for you, because we're going to start it with excellence. Finish it with excellence. Amen. Sarah, lead us in this song.